Hello, I'm Pastor Ann, bringing the message today. We are talking about parables. And who of you plants a garden? We, Lawrence and I, have been married for 43 years, and we have planted a garden every year. And every year, I'm just amazed at what comes up. Like the beautiful orange carrots and the dark red beets and the rainbow Swiss chard with its bright red and yellow and white stems and leaves. And it's just truly amazing to me how when you put that little seed in the soil, it's the same soil, same water, same sun, and yet they produce different things. And it's amazing to see all the different vibrant colors and shapes and sizes of these beautiful vegetables. And this morning we're going to be talking about the parable of the mustard seed. Also the parable of leaven. Now we are continuing on in the series called Heaven is Like... Discovering the Parables of Jesus. And Jesus taught his disciples and his followers through parables, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. And many of the parables begin with the familiar phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like this or that. Now, the English word parable comes from the Greek word parabalo, para meaning alongside of, and bolo meaning to throw. So essentially, parables are truths thrown alongside of a story. So a parable has a context and a specific meaning within that context, and it shows a deeper meaning of how the people of God ought to act. So it's a truth that points to a bigger truth, namely, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Now, these parables refer to the preparatory work of Jesus when he came the first time to earth and through his disciples and the church. Now, you may have heard it said that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God when he was on earth about 2,000 years ago. And that we are in the in-between time, in between the already, when Jesus came, and the not yet time of Jesus' second coming. And we do await that time when Jesus will fulfill and redeem all things. But in the meantime, the kingdom of God is still growing, and we are called to work in that kingdom. So we're going to focus on two parables that basically teach the same thing about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13:31-33, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and nest in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So the theme and the goal of the message today is this: God calls us to help build his kingdom. God's kingdom will spread throughout this world, but we also have a part to play in that. Let us pray. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come now. We invite you into our hearts and minds. We ask that you would allow us to see and to hear what it is that you specifically want each one of us to hear and to see and to incorporate into our lives today. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So first, we're going to look at the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that tiny mustard seed that grows into a big tree. Now, the seed that is put in the ground is very tiny. It's one of the smallest seeds that's planted in a garden. And the plant can sometimes reach up to 10, even 15 feet tall. Now, in our garden, we don't have any plants that grow that tall. We have sunflowers that grow to maybe 7 or 8 feet tall, but never anything 10 or 15 feet tall. So this is huge, starts from such a tiny seed, which is so amazing. And by the fall of the year, the branches have become thick enough and rigid enough that birds can actually nest in its branches. Now, what can we learn from this parable? Well, that the kingdom of heaven would have a very small beginning. Now, the Old Testament prophecies already foretold this. In Isaiah 53, we are told that Jesus came from humble beginnings. Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected by people. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This humble inauguration of the kingdom was no mistake. This was planned by God. John Calvin said this. He was a reformer in the 16th century, reforming the church. And we, as a Reformed Christian Reformed church, have a lot of our theology and doctrine based on what John Calvin taught. He said this: "The Lord opens his reign with a feeble and despicable commencement, for the express purpose that his power may be more fully illustrated in its unexpected progress." So consider this description of the very small beginning of this kingdom. The Son of Man, or Jesus, grew up in a despised province, that is Galilee. He didn't appear in the public until his 30th year, and then he taught for about 3 years in neighboring villages, going to Jerusalem only a few times. He made a few converts, chiefly among the poor and the uneducated, like some of his fishermen disciples. Then he fell into the hands of his enemies, died a very shameful death on the cross. Now that was the commencement of the universal kingdom of God. That was a quote by Mark Copeland. But the tremendous growth would belie its humble beginnings. Now, the growth of the church in the first century AD certainly confirmed the truth of Jesus' parable, like this mustard seed growing into a mustard tree. And the disciples, like Jesus told them, to wait until they had been clothed with power from on high. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples preached in other languages because they could speak in tongues as what the Holy Spirit gave them. And the people, the visitors who were coming to Jerusalem from all different countries, heard the gospel preached in their own language. And 3,000 came to Christ that day. And then we read in Acts 4, verse 4, that Peter and John were preaching and 5,000 people came to Christ. And the number of disciples continued to multiply. In Acts 21, verse 20, it says that there were myriads of believers in Jerusalem alone. Even today, we can see the growth and the influence of the kingdom of heaven in the lives of believers all over the world. The other thing we can learn is that the growth of the kingdom, like that mustard tree, would be beneficial to the whole world. In the parable, Jesus said, "The birds of the air come and nest in its branches." What a beautiful picture that is of the kingdom. So with this simple parable, Jesus offers encouragement to his small band of disciples who were followers of him. But what about today? Does the kingdom of heaven, is it growing still as fast as it did back in the book of Acts, as recorded in the book of Acts? Well, there is this mathematical possibility that it could grow very, very fast. If you think about if there each person, each follower of Christ would bring one person to Christ each year. These are the numbers. At the end of year one, if there were 20 disciples, there would be 40. And then at the end of year five, there would be 640 disciples. At the end of year 10, 20,480 followers of Christ. By the end of year 15, 655,360. At the end of year 20,971,520 followers of Christ. And by the end of year 25, 1,342,177,280 followers of Christ. That is, if each person brings one person to Christ each year. You see, God calls us to help build his kingdom. I think about that sometime, and I know that I do not have not brought one person to Christ over every single year. And you may not have either. But I feel like we still do it because we need to, because God is calling us to do that. But to start with prayer. Remember the acronym HEART. We pray this for our seven who do not follow Christ. We pray H as in God break our heart for what breaks yours. E, we pray that those people would encounter other Christians on their life's journey. We pray A for attend to their needs, that we would see how we can be the hands and feet of Christ to them. And we pray R, that they would have the gift of repentance, that they would see that they need a Savior. And T, that God would transform their hearts and that they too would become more and more like Jesus Christ. So yeah, sometimes it's discouraging when the people that we have been praying for years and years and years, and we are being their hands and feet, and we are showing them Jesus and talking about Jesus, and yet they don't bow their knee to him. But keep on praying. So what is needed to bring about this kingdom of heaven? Well, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have that vision of Jesus Christ, who know that Jesus wants to have disciples that make disciples, who make disciples. And then the kingdom will grow and we will bear fruit. So let's look at the kingdom, or the parable of the yeast, or the leaven. Now, what was leaven? Well, it was a small portion of fermented dough that was used to ferment other dough. So once inserted into the batch, it could continue its process of fermentation until the whole batch of flour and the other ingredients had risen and were fermented. And today we would probably use the term yeast rather than leaven. But I think it was more like that batch of sourdough that we use, bring forward to the next batch, and it ferments and leavens the whole bunch of the dough. So Jesus told this parable to illustrate virtually the same idea about the kingdom of God. So in this parable, this woman uses this fermented bit of dough and adds it to her three measures of flour. And the measures are also called pecks, three pecks of flour, which are about 8 to 10 pounds of flour. So she has three of them. So that's an awful lot of flour. And you think about one bag of flour being 20 pounds. She's got 30 pounds of flour that she's kneading. And that leaven or that yeast will permeate through that whole bunch of dough. So in like leaven, the kingdom of God starts small, and its work is often hidden and invisible until its full effect is realized. So one suggestion would be in this parable that the loaf represents the world and that the leaven or the yeast is the kingdom. So the kingdom of God will eventually make its influence felt in the world. Now, when we look at the news, we're often, at least I'm, discouraged about what is going on in this world. And there's so much discord, war, poverty, crime, brokenness, disease. There's, you know, the natural disasters on account of climate change, wildfires, incredible heat in Europe right now, and in the Mediterranean countries. There's floods in Nova Scotia. We just look at all of this and we go, what is happening? But the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus is giving his disciples and us as well that the kingdom of God is coming and all will be made new. All will be redeemed. All suffering will end. And people don't have to wait until Jesus' second coming in order to experience that. The kingdom is coming now already. So what did Jesus do when he was on earth? He inaugurated the kingdom of heaven, and he healed the sick. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear. He raised people from the dead. He calmed the storm. He fed the hungry. He cast out demons. He healed and restored broken relationships. And that is what the kingdom of God is like, where there is peace and joy and hope and love and healing and goodness, and also healing for our creation. And then Jesus said that we would be doing greater things than he did. Listen to this in John 14:12. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works will they do, because I am going to the Father. You see, God calls us to help build his kingdom. Who has seen the movies, The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy? Well, there is the second one, The Two Towers, a great quote from Samwise Gamgee. This is what he said. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered, full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow, even darkness, must pass, and a new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clear. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? Said Frodo. Well, that there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. See, the kingdom of God is worth fighting for. We have the Holy Spirit filling us and empowering us, and we don't fight this influence of evil alone. You see, the influence of the kingdom will be complete. Jesus said that the whole loaf will be leavened. No part of the world will be untouched by the influence of the kingdom. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17 and 18, that this is how the word is spread. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard throughout the world about Christ. So you may not be called to be a preacher, but God has given you spiritual gifts so that you can do your part. And you can always be the hands and feet of Christ to people around you. You see, we do see the influence of the kingdom in this world, in the growth of the church, and influence of the kingdom in society. We think of our judicial system, of charitable organizations. Think of the Mustard Seed, the organization to the homeless downtown where Pastor Jeremiah is the chaplain. Think of Hope Mission. In our denomination, we have things like World Relief Committee and World Renew, it's called, and the Disaster Response Services, where people go out and help people who have been devastated by natural disasters. You see, this kingdom of God is growing and is touching people's lives. So sometimes we do get discouraged about the kingdom when we look at the news and about the world around us. But the kingdom is coming. And we can remain confident that what began as small as a mustard seed, like the kingdom, will become a great tree. And that once started as a small portion in a loaf can spread throughout the whole loaf. So we need to do our part to be a leavening influence. We need to allow the leaven of the kingdom to permeate our hearts. and lives, to take the word of God into our hearts, that we meditate on the word and seek to apply it, that we spend time in prayer seeking the Lord on what he calls us to do. And in the potential of the kingdom's amazing growth rests in the person who reigns as its king, that is Jesus Christ. Those who will abide in Christ can be used by him to produce this remarkable growth in the kingdom as illustrated by this parable. And we do things only because of Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4 verse 13, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So yeah, the kingdom is destined for great things. When I was thinking about this parable and just how the kingdom is spreading, I was thinking about what happened in February of this year. There was a great revival, a Holy Spirit awakening among people. And this happened in Kentucky in a small Christian college called Asbury Christian College. And this happened on February 8th, just during a chapel service, when the Holy Spirit fell and people fell to their knees and started crying and repenting and confessing to God. And this lasted for 15 days until February 23. And people heard about it and came and drove into that college from all over. And people were being filled with the Holy Spirit and experiencing the power and the glory of God. People were given a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit and a renewed fervor for spreading the good news. People are praying against the dark forces of this dark world. And people were called to become agents of his grace for the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. Let us keep praying for revivals like that to happen, where people will be called to be agents of God in this world. We want to conclude with this encouragement. The history of the church is the fulfillment of God's promise that not even the gates of Hades will be able to prevail against his church. This is from Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus says to Simon Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, for most of my life, when I heard that verse, I thought that Jesus was saying that the powers of death and hell would not overcome the church, that somehow we would survive the attacks, and that until the day of Christ's return. Well, I was mistaken. I recently learned two things. First, when we were in Israel a number of years ago, we actually went to Caesarea Philippi, which is where Jesus spoke these words to Peter. And this is in northern Israel. And in that place was a big cliff of rock. And cut into the rock, into that cliff, were notches where hollowed out, where they placed stone carvings of their idols that they prayed to, pagan gods. And they made sacrifices to these pagan gods. Now, on that side of the cliff, near the end, at the bottom, was a dark cave. Now, get this. The name of that cave was called, or still is, called the Gates of Hades. Interesting, eh? Well, maybe it was in that cave where they sacrificed infants to these pagan gods. It was a place of despicable evil and darkness. Now that's background. But more importantly, the other thing I learned is that gates don't go on the offensive. Gates are a defensive thing. Gates are meant to keep intruders out. And when Jesus said that the gates of Hades would not prove stronger than the church or overcome the church, he means that the church will go out on his authority and actually break down those gates of Hades and go into the dark places. The gate of Hades would be broken down by the advancement of the kingdom of God. You see, we as the church, as followers of Jesus, we don't have to cower away from those forces of evil coming at us. But no, we are to go forward in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and to break down the gate of Hades, where there is darkness, where there is evil. We can hold up high that torch, that light of Jesus Christ, and go in the power and authority of Jesus Christ into the darkness. There's nothing, nothing at all that can ever withstand the power of the gospel of Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has already triumphed over the powers of darkness and evil on the cross. And when he died and rose again, he makes a public spectacle of them. Jesus rules. There is no doubt about that. He has won the victory, and we belong to Jesus because we are children, sons and daughters of the King. We can hold our heads high. We do not need to fear. Jesus told his disciples over and over again, do not fear. We don't need to be afraid to go forward with the light of Christ, in that power and authority of Christ, and break down the darkness and the evil and the sin in this world. We can have a great impact on this world as the children of God. We are called by God to build his kingdom right now, here and now, on this earth, in the places where we live. The kingdom that Jesus inaugurated, the kingdom of heaven, will be fully established one day when Jesus Christ returns. You see, and then one day, the one who took on flesh, who was born in that humble stable, he's going to return in splendor and in glory. And then finally, the dwelling place of God will be among his people. Revelation 21, 3 and 4 says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. So let me conclude with this. The understanding of these two parables, the mustard seed and the leaven, we can take heart in knowing that the work of Christ is not for nothing, and that the kingdom is spreading and is going to touch every part of this world. So let me ask you, what kind of leaven are you? Will you allow the grace of God to make you the kind of leaven that can be used to bring about the kingdom of God where you live? Let's pray. Lord our God, we just thank you for these parables. Thank you for the encouragement that they are to us, that you have won the victory over sin and death and evil, and that we are part of that kingdom, and that you equip us and empower us to help you spread the good news of this kingdom all throughout this world and the places where we live. We pray that you would let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're now going to continue on in our worship by bringing our tithes and offerings to God. All that we have has been given to us by God, and we need to be good stewards of that, and also to give back to God to further his kingdom by giving up our monetary blessings so that the Church of God can grow. So let us pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to see that all that we have is from you, that all that we own is a gift from you. We ask that you make us have generous hearts to return to you a portion of what you have given us, and that can be used to further your kingdom here on earth, to help out organizations that bring your peace and your love to people, and also this church as it goes forth in doing its mission of bringing the gospel of Christ to this city and also serving the city. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As we end this worship service, I want to give you a blessing. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you peace. May the Lord turn towards you and grant you his grace. As you go out now and share the good news of the gospel and the kingdom of God with those around you. Amen.